And I Quote is bringing you expert-to-expert advice and insights. Our thought-provoking conversations with insurance industry professionals will inspire and educate our listeners on the latest trends and hot topics.
Let's move our industry forward together. The And I Quote podcast is brought to you by Coterie Insurance. Coterie is simplifying the way agents work with small business.
Now let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of And I Quote. Today, I have an old friend, Michael Feidel, with us to talk a little bit about what he has going on in his world. But Michael, why don't you give a little introduction for our audience?
Appreciate it, Bobby. Good to see you again. I'm Michael Feidel, co-founder of InsurTech Ohio, a organization focused on celebrating the evolution of the insurance industry. And I am also co-founder of PolicyFly, a digital policy management platform focused specifically on specialty insurance.
I'm so excited to talk with you. So you may not know this, and you were one point of inspiration into me, like leaving legacy world and jumping over to InsurTech world. And so thank you.
Well, that's phenomenal to hear. I appreciate that. And I'm super excited for the success you're having at Coterie.
Thank you. Well, let's talk more about you, enough about me. Talk a little bit about InsurTech Ohio, how it got started, you know, what kind of sparked the idea, you know, and maybe a little bit about like the impetus of it, and what it actually came to as it is today, in reality. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm super passionate about working with Andrew Daniels on building InsurTech Ohio. So Andrew started InsurTech Ohio, I think roughly about a year before we met, right at the end of 2019, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Yeah.
It's about then we met, and I had just moved to Columbus, Ohio. And getting to know Columbus, I realized quite quickly, literally flying in, that Nationwide was a predominant part of the city, that its history was built in Columbus, that it is very much a part of Columbus history in and of itself. And beyond Nationwide, there are a multitude of incredible insurance companies, both rich in their own history, as well as kind of those new insurtechs, neo carriers that were starting to develop quite quickly. And this sort of rich, new and old insurance culture in Columbus was very exciting to jump into. And in the process of networking within really the first few weeks of landing in Ohio, I was introduced to Andrew. I actually brought to the table an interview series. It was 100% an organic, genuine interview series about getting to know the industry and getting to know folks. but I was very interested in finding a way to take that concept and do it from a much more organic brand, a truly genuine brand that spoke to that, like, you know, that sort of community perspective. So it was a match made in heaven when I met Andrew, because he had gotten InsurTech Ohio off the ground on his own. As I developed what was sort of a 12-week proof of concept, focused primarily on names and voices from in and around Ohio specifically, COVID hit. And like literally like a week or two before I was launching the series, COVID took over all our lives, knocked out any sort of, you know, thought of doing an in-person event. And the 3 months of content that we had created around that interview series became what is our sort of anchor content piece. We call it the InsurTech Ohio Spotlight series, which, Bobby, you've participated in.
Yeah.
And that launched into an annual series that we produce weekly. We have been publishing that series for 3 years running. And then from there, Andrew and I have teamed up to really develop more concepts, which I'm interested in talking to you about today.
Well, and I was thinking about this a little bit. In some ways, the timing of COVID, as awful as it was for all of us, was probably a blessing for you and Andrew, because it forced legacy carriers to start thinking a lot differently about their strategies and how they do business. And it gave people kind of a moment of pause to consume the content that you guys were pushing out. So as awful as it was, I think, you know, looking back, it was probably the best thing and the best timing for you landing in Ohio when you did, and meeting Andrew when you did.
Yeah, it was a very on-brand. I say often it was a very on-brand issue for what we were doing and the value proposition that we were bringing to the table, essentially trying to take the concept of networking both in person, which is always going to be a very important part of the insurance industry. That's one of the things I really love about insurance, is that it's an industry built around trust, essentially between policyholders and the insurance carrier. But that same level and expectation of trust plays a crucial role behind the scenes in terms of how all of these business partnerships form, from reinsurance to insurance, to the service and technology providers that play critical roles, and how insurance is executed both internally and or externally. Trust is a major component of how the insurance industry moves. And it's a part of the industry that I hope is never lost, that I trust will never be lost. That human aspect that's always in play, if not behind the scenes, certainly at the forefront of how consumers and their insurers ultimately do business. There's, especially in the worst case of scenarios, always an element of human touch that is required and plays an important role.
And that's something actually we talk a lot about at Coterie, is, you know, we're working on, you know, automating a lot of transactions, but then also being very intentional about saying what transactions should we not automate.
Right.
What transactions need a human touch, because it is a moment of, you know, a moment of gaining more trust, right? It's like those magical moments. And I think insurance will always be a people business as much as we inject technology.
I sure hope so. And I think for the better.
Yes. And to that point, like, you and I really do believe in the power of technology, like creating a better future for our industry. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions on, like, what is the, you know, maybe twofold, the technology that's been introduced in the last couple of years that is gaining, gaining a little bit of traction, that you think is going to build a really bright future for us. And then secondarily, what's next after that?
I'll do my best on the what's next after that without rambling too much, because obviously the future, it's easy to kind of let your thoughts on the future get away from you and start to move into a world that isn't really built in reality. But as far as sort of right here, right now, I look at IoT, Internet of Things, as one arena that I've always been particularly passionate about. And the reason why is because when the things that we are insuring can essentially speak for themselves and provide additional data about whether it's a car or a home, if it can provide real-time data about what we're insuring, to me, that is a fundamental shift in our ability to understand how to price insurance, how to get ahead of a claim. So I'm really keen on that arena. I think that the industry is obviously exceptionally rich in paper and in data already, wrapped inside of legacy platforms. For all the frustration that legacy technology has on the way the more established companies in the industry do business, those systems are so large and somewhat archaic, but with great purpose and on the heels and foundation of tremendous value in getting us to this point. However fast you wish the insurance industry should have moved, we are, I think, at the precipice now of tremendous change. And we should give ode to the technology built before us and not just wish it would go away. It should, to a large extent, in many instances, be able to allow us to move on, to go ahead and just be relegated. But I do have a lot, I have strong opinions, if it's not clear, that we need to, I think, respect where technology is, where we've come from, as we look to the technology that's in front of us. And so my sort of long-winded point is there's a lot of data, there's a lot of legacy technology. And so to your question, more poignantly, I think artificial intelligence and machine learning is another watershed element, because we've got all this data we can't really use. We sort of depend on the underwriting expertise and the internal operations to make these decisions, whether proactively about where rates are, where rates need to go, as well as reactively on a case-by-case basis, on a human-by-human like sort of decision point. That expertise is going to always be crucial.
Yeah.
But the ability to do it at scale is where I really see the foundational shift coming, where within pockets of larger insurance companies, you're going to be able to say, you know what, I'm slicing this piece of business off. And I'm a big, if you know insurance, specialty insurance, you understand what a program is. And I have a very sort of program perspective, given the other side of my focus with PolicyFly. And so I see program and specialization playing a more foundational role, because when you look at risk, if you can say, hey, this is where I want to really start to accelerate and push my distribution, be more aggressive in my rates. If you can confine that risk operationally, from a marketing perspective, then you can say, you can be a bit more aggressive within that space. I think rightfully so, insurers who look at the broader landscape and see folks being ultra aggressive in the use of these technologies, but with no guardrails.
Yeah.
Those are the companies, those are the insurtechs that I would assume are in that bucket of like, got off to a great start, saw high volume of early sales, didn't have the appropriate guardrails, and then like essentially crashed and burned.
Yeah.
Within a few years, because they were just so wide open to so many risks. So so I think that's, honestly, I would say that's a third sort of component that isn't one specific technical, like technology based perspective or prediction. It's the idea that the industry will continue to become more specialized. I know that's not a very novel perspective, but it's one that I'm a big believer in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're just getting to the point, Michael, at Coterie, where we have enough critical mass in our data that's not locked up in the legacy systems, where we can start to identify where do we have those opportunities for specialty.
Yeah.
And to your point, I have a ton of respect for legacy. I grew up in legacy. I have to say, though, it's really refreshing not being in a legacy carrier where your data is like trapped, right? Like all of our data is with us. I don't know, like a lot of carriers are either past or going through their core system transformation. So I think that there's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to that data access.
Definitely. I think Coterie exemplifies the best balance. You guys have an exceptional leadership team that comes with a career's worth of knowledge as to what good insurance decisions are and why and when you need to be practical in order to follow the model that has gotten us to this point. And where are you trying to develop a competitive advantage and you really want to execute on that intellectual property, whether it's a strategic or technical advantage or generally a balance of both? You need to be strategic. It can't be a complete greenfield approach to insurance. That's a losing proposition if your model is complete disruption.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Well, let's flip and talk a little bit about PolicyFly. Your role there is VP of customer success or client success, right?
Yeah, essentially I get to run, regardless of the title, I get to run client and customer success. And that's developed with, there's three original co-founders, myself, my best friend from college, Corey Croslin, our CEO, and Marcel Esser, our CTO. Corey, Marcel, and I have worked together for 15 years. Insurance was just one vertical that we got tapped into because of an MGA slash broker in Long Island called Sterling Risk that we adore. They showed us the ropes almost a decade ago. We built musicproinsurance.com, which was a consumer direct music and instrument equipment insurance program. It's done quite well on the original technology that we built some decade ago. And we learned a lot about policy management in the process, and sure enough became nerds about how to improve this process, especially online in a world where underwriters and agents should have the transparency to conduct this business together.
Well, talk to me a little bit about what you're doing, just to, like, you talked about, you know, the human aspect of it. Talk about your strategy around the communications and how you communicate and connect with, you know, your agents to build those relationships. I'm always interested to hear from other more tech-based companies in our space, what that looks like.
Absolutely. So the model for PolicyFly is to help specialty insurers make their program digitally accessible as they evolve and want to make it more accessible. So it's not a black and white perspective. There's business and complexities in managing insurance, especially on the specialty side. Schedules can balloon. They can be large. We could be talking about commercial property. We could be talking about commercial trucking. It could be fairly straightforward. We could be talking about specialty homeowners in markets and areas that admitted markets have run from.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very interesting angles. And that's what makes specialty one of the things so interesting is that it's a catch-all for really a lot of the insurance industry globally. The agent and underwriter hook here in terms of experience is underwriters need to be able to do the things they do on a day-to-day basis, managing the policy lifecycle from start to finish. So it's not just about the incoming new business and their ability to price it, quote it, get that in front of the agent, but it's also the downstream impact of if they start to scale their business, what sort of complexity and operational inefficiencies do endorsements and cancellations, reinstatements, renewals start to impact their ability to grow the business as they, again, maintain the existing business. That pressure point is always in front of them. And I think that policy management, this is a key perspective for me, having worked with our clients who are generally the insurers themselves, trying to impress agents who are their clients, connecting them to the policyholder. Policy management has always owned, in my opinion, the sort of distribution, impact, and capability of that insurer. But from a very like deep distance, where underwriters had to deal with policy management internally to get the documents, to get the price, to get the endorsements. And then they would just over email and PDF primarily bridge that sort of distribution relationship and that gap. As a human being, they'd have to do that completely on their own. So they've got policy management, but it's a back office only tool that the agent never interacts with. But the speed with which policy management can occur at each of these unique steps played a pivotal role in the speed with which the underwriter could give the agent what they need. What's cool about technology in the last 10 years, and this is going to be a common theme for every industry, and insurance is really starting to adopt it, is web-based technology is moving so much faster than the technology that every policy management system or other technology, accounting, claims, was built on 10, 20 years ago. Yeah. And so part of this speed is really what can you create digital tools with is changing. You've got Amazon and Google and Microsoft building the AI technology. Now we've got OpenAI, we've got a whole new AI player, right? That everyone is feeding off of. But the underlying point I think is absolutely important for like your technology novice to hear. You want to work with partners who are building on the shoulders of giants and utilizing these technologies that are being heavily invested by major technology players to use them from an insurance point of view. And that goes to, I mean, that's literally at every touch point. That's the underlying web technology code that PolicyFly is built on, that every potential PolicyFly competitor is built on. No one's building their own code, right? They're using some sort of existing library, series of libraries to build that technology platform. If they're starting to pull AI capabilities in, which we're dabbling in, we're working with OpenAI tech and pulling that in. If we're generating documents, we're working with a document generation company who's at the bleeding edge of how this is done. It's probably working with, Amazon and all these other major players, and we're pulling that. So as far as technology goes, that's a key perspective that I think is often just completely unknown or not even thought about from that novice point of view, is that all these technology players are really just trying to package up the best in breed capabilities and target it in a way that's meant for insurance.
It's like the dream tech stack, right? Who's gonna get there?
Yeah. And it's constantly gonna change too. That's another key reason why you gotta do that, is because a year from now, what PolicyFly is today is going to become stale. And in order to evolve PolicyFly constantly, we need to be able to snipe the great work that someone else is doing to make that AI capability more accessible. We don't have the team, we don't have the expertise to be trying to do that component at its root all by ourselves. We need to be able to grab that, pull it into a PolicyFly perspective, which to us is a representation of what underwriters and agents are trying to achieve, and say, hey, we were able to take that year's worth of like new AI work and give it to you to do XYZ, you know, workflow yeah. and just turn that on from their perspective. If that hopefully makes sense.
It does. It's, I'm going to use the analogy of like every year you have to draft a new fantasy football team to make the, exactly. the best football team possible. We're building a fantasy tech team, but we have yep. to review it on an annual basis to make sure it's still the fantasy team we want.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got to make yeah. critical choice. You can only change the team so much. Let's call it a keeper league. I'm a fantasy yeah. football guy. So.
Yeah.
Just keep going down this analogy. You can only get to trade so much of that stack. You better choose wisely.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. So one topic that's come up recently and some of the, just the random networking conversations I've had is at what point, like, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago when digital marketing was a thing and now we just call marketing, at what point right. is insurtech not a thing anymore? And we just call it insurance. Would love your expert opinion on that, Michael.
Yeah. However expert it may or may not be, it's definitely one more opinion. I think a purist that insurtech is really just a moniker. It doesn't really mean anything. Yeah. We are obviously just talking about insurance. It's a representation though that I think carries value in terms of how we think about insurance and the fundamental role that technology plays. It probably starts to, you know, I could see it starting to phase out in a distant future.
Yeah.
In a very distant future. Because I think right now it's a flag in the ground in terms of really just attitude more than anything else. As an industry, I think it culturally means something. But it is not confined to being a new company. And that definitely is... something that we need to demystify, that being insurtech capable is a mantra that every company needs to adopt. And I would argue largely those with capital are the ones at the forefront of pushing the insurtech envelope naturally. So yes. It is those insurance companies that have the most clients, the most money, that are spending the most on pushing the insurtech envelope, that are really paying for the partnerships that are creating new startups, that are paying for the partnerships that are turning new startups into high growth companies. So by no means is the future of the industry as an insurtech player being dictated by new entrants. It's really being dictated first and foremost by the capital expenditure and effort of the largest players in our industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more there. And that's become more evident over the last 2 years when the macroeconomic environment has changed, right? Yeah. And you're seeing where the money's coming from.
Yeah, you better stay close to the capital. It's a good call out. Like if you're an insurtech company burning bridges and just telling everyone I can do it on my own, you don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen a few folks do that and it hasn't turned out so well.
Naturally.
Yeah. Yes. My last question for you is, you're an MLB player and you and I have been to Cubs game together, right?
So yeah.
What's your walk-up song?
Oh man, I like it. I would have to say Hell's Bells by AC/DC, because if you remember that Chicago game, I am a huge San Diego Padres fan. And that was Trevor Hoffman's closing song in the ninth inning. So it'd be my go-to if I were walking up to the plate.
Awesome. I love it. And that's a great song.
Thanks, Bobby.
Michael, always a pleasure connecting. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Bobby. Thank you.
It's the best solution for their small commercial book of business. Check out our producer's resources page by clicking the link in the show notes below.